recording?
Okay, thank you. We are back in open session now, and after some discussion, I think this what we want to share. We appreciate that you both came here today, and we thank you for coming and sharing. We are, I think, as a board, we're just not going to really. There's some gray areas of concern, but I just don't think that we are going to be offering any sort of opinion or advice with regard to your business model, you know, at this time. So I think that, I know you said that you looked over our statutes and our rules, but I would just, again, encourage you guys to make sure that you look over specifically the veterinary board statutes and rules, you know, compare it with your business model, and then it's in your court. So that's kind of probably not exactly what you were hoping for, but I think that's kind of where we're at as a board. This is, again, kind of new to us, new information. So
understood.
Do you have anything? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
And if you do, I just want to add, though, if you do have any follow-up questions after all of this, any, you know, please feel free to reach out to Victoria Whitmore. She's excellent, and so hopefully she could maybe try, you know, answer any questions or concerns that you might have. So
thank you.
Specifics, okay.
And thank you for being so accommodating. I know you got us into the agenda, so we really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Oh, and I'm sorry, I don't know if I stated for the record that Ms. Solomon was recused on that item, since she's
a customer.
So she did the right thing. Okay, so now we are going to be on section number 5, item number 2. Board may review, discuss, and take action on communication received from Stacy Folks regarding case number 22-114. Ms. Folks, if you'd like to come forward, thank you for joining us again. Okay, so I know, I understand we're here today. You have a request. So I'm happy to let you speak for a few minutes. I want to have us try and focus on, I guess, kind of the new information or the new specific request, and let's try our best not to be repeating, you know, the case that was already, I guess, discussed and voted on. But yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Before I start, have you all read the email that I sent to Ms. Whitmore, just for my context? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I won't repeat all that. I just have a few brief remarks, and then I can, of course, answer any questions if there are any.
Okay.
And thank you for putting this on today's agenda. The board has the authority to grant a rehearing in this matter based upon newly discovered evidence or any other evidence justifying reconsideration. This comes from ARS 32-2234, subsection H. And so I'm respectfully asking you to exercise that authority and grant a rehearing in this particular case. The newly discovered evidence I've submitted is striking and calls for reopening of this case. And I want to recognize that most complainants don't have the resources to hire an independent veterinary expert, as I did here, and so I feel privileged to have had that opportunity and to be in this unique position. Dr. Gail Mason, whose report I did send to Ms. Whitmore, spent over 10 hours reviewing Greta's case and writing the report I submitted. Her thorough review included Greta's medical records, all available written documents, as well as the audio recording of Dr. Barnes' oral statement that she made to this board at the last hearing. And I fully understand that members of this board generally won't have 10 hours to spend on any given case before the board. And so I do appreciate you taking the time to consider the information contained in her report and for working together to revisit the case and make this right for the animals in our community. I live in Flagstaff, a small community. Had I not presented this information to you for your consideration, I would have had to live with guilt, knowing that the tragedy that befell Greta could happen to other animals in my community. As detailed in Dr. Mason's report, Dr. Barnes caused Greta's death not by way of a random accident or unavoidable complication, She made a series of imprudent decisions that were contrary to accepted practices and the results of carelessness and negligence. The report lists these in detail, as does my email, just a few examples that I learned, and that I think most of these things had not been discussed at the previous hearings in this case. But for example, she used a needle that was too long. She didn't use appropriate sedation, despite Greta's demonstrated anxiety and resistance to restraint. She failed to stop the procedure after the first time she aspirated blood, and then didn't recognize the consequences of what she'd done, and did an ultrasound Greta immediately and serially to look for hemorrhage. I also learned she did not provide adequate CPR, nor did she place an abdominal wrap to slow or halt the hemorrhage, and then failed to detect the massive and fatal hemorrhage she had caused even after Greta had died. Not to mention having performed cystocentesis on an anxious and moving patient. So reading this report, I believe it shows multiple violations of the Veterinary Practice Act. And Dr. Mason's findings are consistent with those of this board's investigative committee, who did its own review, and also made findings of gross negligence and malpractice under ARS 32-2232 subsection 11. So based on all these facts, I'm asking you to do right by Greta and to protect the other animals in my community by, ultimately, I would ask the board to find her in violation and issue a sanction commensurate with her actions. I understand that procedurally that probably can't happen today. So if a rehearing is what's called for, that's what I would ask for at this stage. I also mentioned in my letter that there was not an open meeting hearing from the committee, which is my reading of ARS 32-2237C, which states the committee shall present its report to the board in an open meeting. So at this juncture, I believe that an open meeting could be placed on the board's calendar, along with the rehearing for consideration of the new information that we've gathered from Dr. Mason's report. I thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Okay. Thank you, Stacy, for being here. Again, I know Greta meant a lot to you, and this was a hard case. I guess I would just kind of start the discussion amongst my colleagues here. While I understand that, you know, you have this second opinion done, I don't know that I consider a second opinion exactly new information. I don't know, you know, how the others feel about this, but I don't know that I can get there as far as this being new information. It's just it's another person looking at it, and a person who's, you know, wasn't actually, I understand they have, you know, you submitted the records, but that they weren't actually, you know, present, the one treating Greta. So I guess that's kind of my first piece as far as whether or not this was actually new information. And then, you know, with regard to, you know, the IC presenting it, I guess we maybe just personally are seeing maybe that the interpretation of that statute differently. I served on the IC many years ago too, and it was never, I mean, and that was over 10 years ago, that was never something where we came and presented to the board. I think board staff is there, but then they create the report that, of course, then we are given not only all of their materials, but we have the audio from their meeting as well. So I think, you know, to suggest, especially when we have, you know, how many investigative reviews alone did we have today? We had 17, you know, that then each month that investigative committee member has to come before the board. We stretch these out sometimes throughout the day and sit there and then present it. I think that and again, in my mind, and I'm not an attorney, and I'm you know, but I feel like the idea is that is if it's shared with us, that is kind of the same thing as, you know, presenting. I don't think the idea was they had to come before us and, you know, share the same facts that, again, can be done, you know, via emails and, again, the audio. and all of that. So again, I know you've put a lot of time into this, and I know that your heart is broken. I'm just not sure I, you know, personally, I was the lead on this item, but I don't know that I feel, you know, like this case warrants a rehearing, but I certainly, you know, defer to the others and what your thoughts are
Yeah, the question here is, is this new information that we can use? And that's it. I'm on the record as being the one member on the board that agreed with you and agree totally 100% with the evaluation you had. But our question here is this allowable under our rules to reopen due to the fact it's new information? So that is our, what we're considering now.
Ms. Alden?
Yes, I wanted to share with the board two concerns I have about this information. And Victoria, please correct me if I'm wrong. I do not believe that the veterinarian that wrote this is licensed in the state of Arizona. And secondly, when the materials that were referenced or read in preparation of this report, the Arizona statutes for the Veterinary Practice Act weren't even referenced. So I'm not sure what this new information purports to find a violation of, because the Arizona statutes weren't referenced. So those are my two key points.
And just to add to that, unfortunately, and again, I'm so sorry for everything, yes. But when we look at this, when we look at complaints in general, the complaints are submitted to us by the public, but that complaint is not a party to the actual case. It's the board that is now investigating and looking at the veterinarian, and the complainant is a witness there. Unfortunately, under statutes, the witnesses have no appeal rights, so that makes it very difficult that way too. You're not a true party to the case, you're a witness.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out.
That's just state law.
No, I know. I'm not here to be a party. I'm aware of that.
So,
may I respond to a little bit of what's been said?
If you can keep it really brief, we're past four and we still have several items to discuss.
Okay.
So
thank you. I mean, I guess where I'm coming from is a lot of this was new information to me. So, and it was not mentioned at the last hearings. The fact the needle was too long, the fact CPR was not done properly. I mean, I feel these are things that have not been addressed by this board, and I don't know if they were not noticed in the review of everything. Like I said, I understand. I see how long your agendas are. I know how much work goes into this, and there's no way anyone would have the amount of time that this person did to review it and notice all of these things. I mean, I know some of these things were mentioned, like anxiety, nervousness, movement, but a lot of them were not. And so when I say new information, I'm talking about the items in her list of findings that were not discussed. I don't believe they were considered. They may not have even been known to the members of the board. And as a member of the public, I didn't know about them. I don't know these things. As for the standard, as Dr. Mason mentioned, she is familiar with the standards. It's a national standard of care. She says the standard of veterinary medical care that she is applying is national in scope and expectation and applies to practitioners in the state of Arizona. Further, small animal anatomy and medicine diagnostic evaluations, risks, and benefits of action are the same in Arizona as in where she's licensed, which is Maine, Florida, and South Carolina. I didn't go to talk through the statutes, but the definition of malpractice, treatment in a manner contrary to accepted practices and with injurious results. I have trouble seeing this list of things and seeing how that does not match up with the Arizona statute, similarly with the definition of gross negligence, which I will not rattle off. You don't know it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need an Arizona expert to recognize possible gross negligence and malpractice. I get where you're coming from. I know you don't want to reopen the case, but this is a very unique situation where a veterinarian killed a dog collecting urine. And we see now from this new information that it was not just a random complication, that she actually did something wrong.
Okay.
And she's out
and
there
Stacey,
with damage right now.
I'm going to have to stop you. So
this is my dog.
I I know. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of our cases do not, as you know, you've sat here, we don't end up with clear winners, you know, in so many of them. I mean, it just, you know, it just doesn't work that way. And I'm sorry, and I understand that you're disappointed. But I think, I mean, Mark, are we taking do we need to take an actual vote, or?
I don't know.
I think the consensus, unless anybody has anything, is that we're going to take no action on this. So thank you again for being here. I understand you're disappointed. Okay. So I need to go back and finish off, let's see, a couple of others. So in section number 5,
Hey Jessica, this is Robin. Do you guys need me any further, or can I hop off?
Nope, you can drop off. Thank you.
I just marked it for the record.
Yep, so goodbye, Dr. James.
Thank you.
Did you get a response, Victoria, on item number 3C?
Yes.
Tracy Ridgway.
Okay. I have that, Michael. Similar. Is the questions
I still hear you, Robin, just so you know. Oh, sorry. I think Tracy needs to.
Okay.
See you later.
The questions I remember, so Ms. Solomon, members of the board, so Ms. Solomon was asking about, do we check with VIVA, the ABSB? We don't, but they're required as part of their application to have a verification from each state sent directly to us. So she's licensed in Washington and Idaho, so they both sent verification. She had never had disciplinary action in Washington, and she just had the two in Idaho. And then you were asking, has she been working? She is applying by endorsement, which means she has to show proof of actively providing veterinary medicine for 3 of the last 5 years or 6 of the last 10, and she provided proof of working as a veterinarian for 6 of the last 10 years.
Okay.
And I don't remember if you had other questions.
No, the Idaho license she had has expired, was my point. And so she was not licensed in Idaho when she applied. It expired, I forget the exact date, but it was in 2022.
Gotcha. So it's the, and she,
so she's doing 6 of 10.
To apply for endorsement, she does have to have one active license, and it's in Washington.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
So do you want to make a motion on that then?
Can you refresh me on
which item? Okay, sorry. We are on item number 3. Board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary license applications. C, Tracy Ridgway, DVM.
Madam Chair, thanks to the staff's excellent research, I move we approve the veterinary license application for Tracy Ridgway.
Okay, second. Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, board may review, discuss, and take action on premise inspections. So Annalise or Victoria, if you wanna, we have A, Bear Canyon, pause, but we'll start with Bear Canyon.
Sure, so Bear Canyon, this was a follow-up inspection that Todd conducted after an inspection in September that he and I did, that had very poor results. He did a unannounced inspection recently and found only one tiny potential violation, found everything extremely improved. So I don't believe that any further action is required regarding Bear Canyon.
Okay.
So that's happy news. The second one as well, our 1568 Paws Veterinary Clinic, same scenario where he and I had done an inspection in the fall and quite a few potential violations. So this time around, there was only one thing, which is kind of concerning, but there were some 2 expired drugs on the shelf that were the exact same drugs that were expired when we were there months ago. So they hadn't been properly disposed of.
Okay.
Apparently, since that time, the hospital manager who was there is no longer there. The veterinarian, of course, such a shock, that, you know, it was there and all. But they did seem to have everything else back in compliance. So I think this is another one I think that I'm comfortable with just keeping them on our regular cadence of inspections moving forward.
Okay.
The one thing that did concern me though was the 2 bottles of expired Verbantle dewormer.
The one that's exact same thing.
Yeah, I was like, so we took it off the shelf during an inspection, and then we were like, all right, cool, I'm gonna put it back now? After we left? That's a little concerning to me.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that is the one I'm concerned about. The kind of the thing that I can't quite put together is when we were there the first time, there was a multitude of expired medications, and they weren't there. So I don't know, and she couldn't explain either, because when we did the first inspection, the doctor wasn't there on the premises. So she couldn't explain why these were back or who put them there.
So we'll chalk it up to an accident?
You know, but it's, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
Right.
But it's still concerning, like, again, how it's not that hard, folks, to have your staff check the shelf, you know, once a week or once a month or something like that. And that should have been found in that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, expired drugs, I think almost every time we do an inspection, because yeah, it happens real fast and people get behind. I don't think it's an excuse, but it happens. Yeah. The problem was it was found once before. That's the only thing where I'm just like,
yeah, it's still there.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like that's. I'm like, oh yeah, that's all a different level of stuff.
that's the piece. I'm not sure what the best way is to forward. Do we want to, you know, spend our limited resources going back there again for that? I'm not sure.
No.
At least in the next year. I mean, we can put it on a, like, go back in the next 2 to 3 years or something.
Yeah, that's what I would say is put them on the middle of the next long.
Go back sooner.
Go back sooner than the typical time.
Okay, that's good. Okay. I like that.
And what about PAWS Veterinary Clinic?
So that was PAWS.
That was PAWS.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That was PAWS. Okay. So next up, Paul and Glenn.
I'm going to have Annalise talk about the next two. Thank you.
So Paul and Glenn was re-inspected due to numerous potential violations about a year ago. This was almost done a year, almost to the day. Vast improvement from last time. The original one, the responsible veterinarian stated that he did have a bunch of changeover of staff, and it was staff that wasn't helping with the practice at all and making things worse. And with this last inspection, it was evident that a lot of it was staff-driven from the original inspection. There are still medical records issues. They're not nearly as bad as what they were. He's putting systems in place. So I recommend maybe like 6 months down the road, just ask him to send me surgical records to make sure they're compliant. So, but everything else is good. Their logs were great and everything.
Okay, that's good.
And then Smart Veterinary Services, this one was inspection based on change of scope. So I was specifically looking at their surgical suite because they added surgical services and radiology services. And there were no, just for the record, there were no repeat potential violations from the original inspection that was done a couple months prior, so that's good. However, there were potential violations specifically to the record keeping that kind of concerned me. Like their anesthesia monitoring sheets weren't getting uploaded to the record and they couldn't find them. So that had like the treatment of the pet that had all their drugs on that paper, and they also had monitoring. And their x-ray was missing the hospital name, but that's really minor. So I just request that we do a re-inspect within the next 12 months, just to make sure, like, they get whatever processes in place.
Regarding that one, it's the same responsible vet who was here earlier today, who is rather new at the practice of veterinary medicine, and is the responsible veterinarian for 6 different locations.
And there's obviously no limit as to how many you can be.
Yeah. No, there's no.
He's getting paid really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, my concern is with the extent of the problems we saw with the case with us this morning, and you know, I mean, what Annalise is reporting now on this particular location is not major. But I'm just concerned about when the other 5 premises might be inspected.
So I think that
they've been inspected.
They have.
Yes, I could.
Since he's in the one with, but he's just been there between the last, 3 to 6 months?
At least the 6 months, because I've done all of them except one and talked to the other one.
Good.
I have to do the inspection in 2 Tucson locations because they added surgery, but they haven't done surgery, so there's no reason for me to go down there.
Gotcha. Okay.
And to just kind of go with your concern as well, I did, they do have, as he mentioned, medical director, I spoke to one of their new medical directors, and directly asked her if that doctor who's the responsible veterinarian now would be mentoring other people or overseeing people, and she said no.
All right. Good to know. Okay, so.
On the rest of the list?
Yeah.
I would like to, for the record, mend the five perfect inspections with no violations, which were Shot Vet PetSmart Prescott, Sabino Veterinary Care, Circle S Equine Veterinary Services, Sun City Animal Hospital, and Mobile Veterinary Services.
Thank you, Jane.
You bet.
Nice. Okay, so we are done there. So now we are going to go, going backwards again. Section number 4, we are on item number 11, 23148, in regards to Heather Owyan, DVM, Board May Review, Discuss and Take Action on Request to Modify Consent Agreement. So, Ms. Dr. Owyan, please feel free to come and join us here.
Thank you very much for seeing me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
I just brought a little something that I'd like to pass down to
you. Okay.
Did everybody get a chance to read the letter of my request?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So Ms. Solomon is the lead, so I don't know if you want to hear from her or...
I'd like to hear from the doctor first.
Okay.
Well, I would just, you know, after thinking about our last visit here and my decision to do a mobile practice, I thought about things more, and I just thought if I don't have to have the additional responsibility of practice ownership, I would prefer to just be a vet. And so I got a great opportunity, and I'd like to take it if that's okay with all of you.
Okay.
To be an associate vet.
Yes, Madam Chair. My concerns are that this wasn't just at this plan you discussed with the board. You entered into a legally binding agreement, and you are not in compliance with that agreement. And that was to, that you were already to have submitted the mobile premise application, et cetera. So it's not just a change of perspective or direction. It's what, based on the information that you provided the board previously and the legal agreement we mutually entered into, you were bound by that. And as such, you have not complied with your current consent agreement. So based on that, I would propose we modify the current consent agreement as follows. It's my understanding you want to go into, you want to work for someone else in private practice, veterinary medicine.
Correct.
Okay.
And I'll let you finish speaking, but I just want to add a couple things to it.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Part of the reason that I didn't submit premise license in time was my DVA license expired in December, and when I went to renew it, because I was on probation and a veterinary license, I had to wait to hear back from the DEA officer. And I didn't until like the first week of February. So I wasn't quite sure, you know, if I'd be able to do a mobile license. So that was part of it. And then there were also another personal life event, the passing of the family, that I wasn't anticipating, that has changed my personal life kind of dramatically. So it wasn't because I was being negligent to my probation duties. It was just things that happened along the way that I wasn't anticipating.
I understand, but I just want to reiterate that it was a legal agreement with specific conditions that you were to comply with. So I would move we modify the existing consent agreement to allow Dr. Owyan to practice under a responsible veterinarian, and that responsible veterinarian has to receive a copy of the consent agreement. That would be for the period of probation, which I would also increase by 2 additional years for non-compliance for a total of 3 years. The civil penalty was to have been reduced if you complied, but you did not, so it's back up to $5,000. $4,000. The practice monitor will continue, must continue throughout the period of probation, so that's down for a full 3 years. And also that it would prohibit you from serving as a responsible veterinarian for the next 5 years.
And Ms. Solomon, the practice monitor, if she's going to work in another hospital, will be focused on medical records?
Yes, it will be back, that's solely focused on your practice of veterinary medicine, yes.
Okay.
Can I speak a little bit more?
This is board discussion now, motion needs a second, if there's going to be any discussion.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to amend Dr. Owyan's consent agreement. I think I agree with everything that you stated, so if there's no further discussion, we need to do a roll call here.
Yes.
So Ms. Krager is an aye, Dr. James is not here, Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Reif?
Aye.
Aye, so motion passes, so. Well, I we wish you luck.
Thank you.
I think you're making the right decision. You know, there's so much stress with running your own practice, and you know, it's not suited for everyone. And so, again, let us know if you need anything, but hopefully everything, you know, when you get settled in, there are things that practice monitor will need to get, set up fairly.
Will I get that late?
Yes.
How often, I meet here and that sort of thing?
As far as, oh, the practice, no, you don't, she doesn't have to come see us. The practice monitor, I can't remember what it says, but is it quarterly reports of records or? And then they are just submitted directly to Victoria, so you kind of.
It is.
You don't really have to.
Yes, she'd have to arrange with whatever practice you're working in.
Right.
Right.
Your practice monitor should look at records of that practice.
So like I said, once you get started at the new practice, then, but you'll receive the amended CA that of course you'll have, you'll have how long to sign?
30 days.
30 days, okay. So, but if you have any questions, then.
That was for 3 years?
Yes.
Probation?
Yeah.
And then 5 years for responsible veterinarian?
Yeah, correct.
To be a responsible veterinarian?
Yeah.
And then $5,000 fine to be paid by the end of that 3 years then? Is that correct?
I think that's usually.
It doesn't change the time of when, I guess that's the board should talk about that. Right now, she needs to pay the civil penalty by November 30th.
Yeah, I didn't propose any change to that date.
Yeah, she's just extending the probation.
Okay.
Right.
So yeah, that just will remain, because yeah, that, you're right, that wasn't something that we just.
Yeah, so can I, if I don't mind, because I've had conversations here. So we had the last, one of the times we talked, we had a conversation about you weren't sure if you actually might consider opening a hospital again in the future. So I wanted them to know that was said because you hadn't disposed of your equipment and things like that.
Well, part of the reason, I didn't dispose of the equipment, one, because I had a lot of other things going on.
Right.
I just didn't have a lot of time to focus on getting rid of equipment. And so I don't have any plans to open a hospital in the future, but I don't. I had so much going on that I didn't have time to think about, what am I going to do with this equipment right now?
Right.
Wasn't a huge priority for me, so I just,
yeah.
I just didn't get rid of it.
Okay. So I think this was a learning lesson for me in that we didn't write the consent agreement ever with the thought that she would change her mind about what she had agreed to for months and months and months.
Okay.
So you're going to be in the position again where she might change her mind again. And so I don't know if there needs to be language in this amended consent agreement that if a year from now or 4 years from now she wants to open a hospital, is that impacted in some way?
Well, and it would have to be at least 5 years from now anyway, right?
So
for responsible veterinarian.
Well, you could still open. Agreement is as it was stated. Just you could be someone else could be the responsible vet. And so I don't know if the board wants to talk about that piece of it to give me some direction on what I'm drafting or.
Yeah, I would be concerned about even ownership or co-ownership within five, or responsible vet within 5 years prohibited.
But after 5 years, you would be?
After 5 years, and we have practice monitor reports for 3 years, and they're clean. it's a possibility after 5 years.
Harder time with the ownership portion, because I mean, we can't really dictate who owns businesses. We can only say who's licensed for the business.
That's true.
So that, does that put us in a weird position?
Yes, that's true.
Because we're regulating commerce at that point.
Exactly. That's that very good point.
Yes.
So that, that makes, yeah, so that's only my concern. I have no problem with ownership personally. I mean, responsible vet's going to be the one things are going to fall down to, and they're going to have to be the ones that are going to be in charge of saying, no, this is going to be done the right way. So, I mean, so it, it gets hard for me to go to the business aspect of it.
Okay.
But
so I'll just stay with my original.
Yeah, that's the design.
I mean, it's, I think it's worth changing it and amending it to say that we can do that, but we definitely can't be a premise holder.
Yeah, I think if plans continue to fluctuate without a whole lot of planning forethought, that'll simply be an indication that she'll be in non-compliance in a number of other areas, mm-hmm. and the consent agreement will bring it back, and then we may be looking at informal or formal hearing.
Okay.
That would be my response.
Okay. Can I just clarify? So it's a 5-year probation for not being a responsible veterinarian?
It's a prohibition, not probation, prohibition. 5 years for not being responsible. That probation is 3 years.
Well, it's.
Do we need to extend the probation?
We
can't. Yeah.
It's a practice restriction in a sense for 5 years.
Okay.
Yes.
That, okay. Then the probation would be for 5 years. But I will hold back on the practice monitor for 3, unless you feel it needs to be 5.
3 seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 5 years probation, and that's not being a responsible veterinarian through that time, and then 3 years for the practice monitor and records. Okay, and then the $5,000 civil penalty, that's still due by November 30th?
Correct. And
the responsible vet then, the new responsible vet that she will be working for needs to provide a statement that he or she has read and understands the consent agreement.
Correct.
That would be any place that
she
works,
and
it could be multiple places.
Right. Any employer, yeah. Any veterinary service employer. Yeah.
Okay, so we need to re-vote on that now, Mark?
Yes.
Okay. So with this new amended, we're going to do roll call. Ms. Krieger is an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Sullivan?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr.
Aye.
Okay. Did we do that correctly? Was there, we amended it?
Yeah.
Okay, we need a second.
That's pretty good.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Ryan.
Can I ask one last question?
Sure.
Am I allowed to go to work and then just have my employer, you know, follow up on this? Like, can I?
What you'll need to do is wait until you get the consent agreement and it's executed, and then.
Before I go to work.
Yeah.
Okay. But we'll have that to you. What is?
Yeah, and they would need to provide the documentation that they've gotten the consent agreement.
I can't give you a definitive of when it will be drafted, but we'll do it as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Would it be possible to ask to get that email?
Pardon?
Like,
I'm sorry.
Would it be possible to ask to get that email so I could?
We require your email. Just mail it by certified mail. Okay. But I can serve that email if you also.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks. Unless I missed anything, are we down? I think we're down to section number 6, review and approval of minutes. And we've got, yes, okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve the regular session minutes for March 20th, 2024.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And a motion to approve the executive session minutes for March 20th, 2024.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve executive session minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Are
you doing the consent?
I think we're going to read it. We're going to that section now.
Yeah.
What's that?
You have to say we're on to that section.
Okay, sorry. Now we are on the consent agenda. Thank
now
you.
So I'll make a motion to approve consent agenda, removing A6, A9, A11, A14, A16, A22, A23, A24, B12, B19, B20, B21.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Make a motion to approve pending compliance for A6, A11, A14, A16, A22, A23, A24, B12, B19, B20, and B21.
Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And I make a motion to approve pending inspection and compliance for A&R.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Summary of current events. Does anybody have anything to share? Please, no. It's 4:30. Okay. Our call to the public. So we don't have anyone here, and nobody is being requested to be called, so I don't need to read my lengthy paragraph there. Okay, and then establishment of future meeting date. Our next meeting is Wednesday, May 15th. That guy was right, at 8:30 a.m. You're in Boardroom B again. All right, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, in a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.